ain't the kind to wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. Simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby, and joining me tonight, we got John.
Hello, everyone.
And we got Clay.
What's up?
And tonight, we're going to be talking about Thor Ragnarok, the movie. Obviously. This is going to be one of our movie review episodes. Folks, if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want spoilers,
come back later.
Pause this episode, go watch the fucking movie, then come back and listen.
You're a bit warned.
If you haven't seen the movie but you don't mind spoilers, feel free to listen. But we are going to go pretty in-depth with what happens in this movie like we do in all of our review podcasts. So, I saw it... not over last weekend, I think. John, when did you see it?
I saw it last Wednesday because I got invited to a free preview.
Yeah, and then Clay, you saw it last night.
Yep.
So it's going to be more fresh in your mind than ours.
Anybody else?
Nope.
It's been
a while.
It goes in one ear and comes out the other.
Well, let's start off. I got a question for both of you. Let's start with John. Compared to the other Thor movies, where would you rank this? This is the the third one, right? This is the third.
Yeah, it's the third one. Yeah, by far the best one. The worst one is Dark World. Dark World is mostly a humorless drudgery that you have to sit through, and the only reason you're there is for Loki and Thor's back and forth. This was actually a good movie. See, Thor Dark World is like, if not the worst, it is the second worst, in my opinion, of any of the MCU. So, so it ranks low. The original Thor was okay. It was a good sit-down watch movie that you can kind of watch again but not pay much attention to. This one was much better than both of them.
And Clay, where would you rank this one amongst the other Thor movies?
I would have to agree. There was more involvement from other characters. It wasn't just based on what they were doing, really. You saw more of other people. They actually had more story for her, other characters, and it wasn't just limited to two or three main characters.
Right. And as my wife says, and helped by the fact that Natalie Portman was not involved in any way, shape, or form.
What's with all the Natalie Portman hate?
Her opinion, and I kind of understand it, is that Natalie Portman may be a fine actress, but she is not good chemistry for any, either Chris Hemsworth or Hayden Christensen from Star Wars. In both occasions, she came off looking really wooden. And so having her not involved in this one, I did actually think helped a bit.
I mean, fair enough. Like, I'm not disagreeing. I just wanted to know where all this Natalie Portman hate came from. So.
Well, let's put it this way. When the males can seem more compatible than the supposed love interest, that's a scary thing.
Fair. Fair. As far as me, I'm going to have to agree with both of you as well. I definitely think this was the better of all of the Thor movies. I still don't know where I would rank it as far as all of the
overall.
Marvel movies. It's up there.
But... yeah, I struggle with that too. I was thinking of it. Okay, so if you think of it as a comedy piece, which it mostly is, to be fair, I don't think it ranks above the original Guardians of the Galaxy. But I do think it ranks above the second one. which came out this year. I wasn't as, like, I didn't dislike it, but it wasn't as good as I thought it could be.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're looking at it, like, with Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, which are kind of the same kind of silliness, I think it's definitely better than most of the others, but not better than the original Guardians. Right. Which, to me, hands down, is one of the best Marvel films of them all.
Right. And, like, it did a very good job. Like, I don't remember the last Marvel movie that I watched where I literally just continuously was laughing in my chair. Like, I'm fairly certain, like, I laughed at some parts in there that no one else really laughed at, and I don't understand why they weren't laughing, but they thought I was a psychopath. Like, I got weird
some
looks in
the theater. Have the humor that others do.
I guess, but there are funny parts. Like, I don't, man, people. All you people, yeah. If any of you are listening to me, all you people at the movie theater who gave me weird fucking looks, go fuck yourselves, okay?
Why are you looking around at people in a movie theater, man? I never pay any attention to them.
Because, like, I get paranoid because I don't like going to the movie theaters by myself. Like, when I'm with other people, I don't bother looking around because I don't care. But, like, when I'm by myself, man, I get paranoid and I tend to look around.
I don't know. I get weird looks at the movie theater for other reasons, so I don't really get too worked up over the opinion of others.
Yeah.
John's kind of a hard ass, isn't he?
Sure, yeah. Well, I do work in politics, so I have to have a bit of a tough skin.
So, let's talk about how the movie starts off. I'm trying to remember how the movie starts off.
The movie starts off with Thor in chains at the bottom of some pit.
Oh,
talking
yeah.
To the,
yeah,
talking
yeah.
To Sauron or Sauron? Not Sauron. Something like that, though. It's an S name. I don't remember the name of the character. But that devil dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy who's supposed to bring upon Ragnarok. Yeah.
Which, of course, isn't the actual cause of Ragnarok in actual
mythology,
by the way.
No.
Yeah. It's actually Loki that causes Ragnarok, and the spoilers, the wolf is his son.
Yes. Fenrir. And yep. It's actually, I believe, the beginning of...
I think
Hela
is also his daughter, but...
Loki's? No.
Yeah, I think so. I'll look it up.
Yeah, but I do know that the whole bringing of Ragnarok in normal mythology is when Fenrir breaks free of his bonds, because currently he got tricked into being bound. So when he breaks free, it's supposed to be Fenrir that just eats all the Aesir, essentially, and that's going to bring upon Ragnarok.
She is the daughter of Loki.
If I remember correctly, too, so isn't Odin's horse is Loki's child?
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird, because Loki turned into a horse to try to outrun this other horse. He turned himself into a female horse.
And then he did an Austin, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
No, he turned into the female horse, and then Austin came along and had his way.
Next thing you know, there's a little...
yeah, and then all of a sudden there's a six-legged horse that Odin now rides, so...
That seems a little creepy, too, to be fair.
Right?
Hey, son, I'm gonna ride my grandchild, wah-ha-ha. Then again, all these gods are a little odd, so...
Oh, yeah,
you know.
Dude, everybody from back in that time period, it's just like, they didn't care. Odin was essentially Zeus. Zeus fucked everything. Doesn't matter.
I cannot pronounce this name, but it is Sleipnir, I think is how you pronounce it, which sounds really hilarious.
Is that the...
It's Sleipnir. That is the spelling of the name of the eight-legged horse.
Of the horse, yeah.
Yep.
And,
or possibly something else, but that's, you're right, a legged stallion, with Loki. Oh, that's the, okay, so I found Loki's, partner.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is,
Avalfari or something like that.
Yeah, so the whole process, the whole reason that even happened was, there was a, I believe it was a dwarf, and the Aesir hate the dwarves. And the Aesir, if for those of you who aren't up with your Norse mythology, are essentially the high gods of Norse mythology. So you have like your Odin, Thor, and so on and so forth. They're just like the more powerful, more prominent gods. So essentially this dwarf, they were doing something, they needed to bolster their defenses, they were going to build a wall or something. And this dwarf is like, oh, I can build this wall in a day, you know? And the, you know, I believe it was Odin who was like, if you build this wall in a day, then we'll give you some pass or some shit like that, you can feast with us. And obviously hating dwarves, they didn't want him to complete it in a day. So this dwarf had a horse or some shit, and the horse was super fast. And that's what was allowing him to get all this work done really quick. And so Odin tasked Loki with, hey, go distract that horse. Get rid of that horse because that's going to slow down production. So Loki... he's like, all right, I can do that. I'll turn myself into a beautiful female horse. And then that horse started chasing him, and he ran into the woods, and he did not outrun that dude's horse. So, yeah. And then he gave birth to the eight-legged or six-legged.
Six-legged. He had sex with an eight-legged horse in order to have a... that's why it could run so fast.
Yeah.
Which... seems absolutely silly because more legs don't equivalent with more speed,
right?
Necessarily.
So yeah, a little bit of Norse mythology for you guys there. Yeah, if you didn't like it, well, I don't care. Anyway, so yeah, we start the movie with Thor. He's in a cage actually. Then he gets spun down on this chain, and this is where I first started laughing out loud. Was just him spinning around and then stopping the conversation until he spun back around to face the dude.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Jump back around now.
It's like, I swear I'm not doing this. It's the chains.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like how just like typical supervillain, the guy that he's talking to is like, oh no, this crown right here, this, once I put this in the fire, all of my plans will happen because this is exactly what will happen. And he goes into detail. And then you know... Thor obviously takes the fucking crown because he's going to prevent Ragnarok. You know. Why do villains do that, John? You've been a comic book fan for a long time. Why do villains always have the need to, like, give away their master plan? Yeah.
Yeah, it's to the point now where it's a trope where the villain says, yeah, I'll just tell you about my plan. Oh, no, I won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a derivative of like the original like Silver Age and Golden Age comics where that was kind of a thing, right? And I think it's kind of because comics were read by kids a lot originally, I think there was this expectation that they may not be able to follow things, so then they had the villain sort of explain everything.
Yeah.
Because then the kid could go, "Oh, that's what's happening."
Kids
are stupid.
Well, and I also think it's also an adult's perspective on kids, right? Because some kids aren't stupid. Kids figure it out pretty quickly. But I think there is this expectation, and oh, children might not understand, so we better make it clear why this baddie's doing this.
You know what? I bet Edquist,
it's such a trope.
I bet Edquist was one of those fucking kids who, like, you give him a puzzle and he just knew it. And
sussed it out. Yeah, yeah. I know he's driving you mental so far on D&D. It's good. It's good. It's good for us anyway.
You guys know all the puzzles. It's not fair.
The math one would have been the end. I would have died there.
So yeah, essentially he rips this crown off this dude's head and then straps it to his back and has to escape presumably the underworld.
Yeah, they were never really clear, but yeah, I think that's what it was.
And then he starts getting chased by this dragon, and he keeps asking Heimdall for a gateway, essentially, a bridge, so he can get back. And that's where we get to meet Scourge, who is the typical slime ball slash survivalist.
slash bureaucrat in some ways too.
Yeah, like he was willing to do and jump ship as many times as he needed to survive.
Although I do like his guns, which apparently are a thing in the comics.
Yes, they are. That's Dez and Troy.
Because
when you put them together, it's Destroy.
They're Destroy, yeah.
So finally, you know, he has a couple, concubines, I guess, with him. Female accompaniment.
Like dates. Yeah. But yeah.
And like he's trying to impress them by showing them all of their showing them all of his loot, and
none of which, of course, is his.
Then he gets a call from Thor because he's taking over as Heimdall for right now, and brings Thor through the gateway along with the head of the dragon that's chasing him, which then gets spewed all over all of everybody.
Yep.
So gate ruined, I guess.
Yep.
So much for that first date.
Yeah. Not setting a fine example, no.
So, the next part, I completely forgot about. From, until it happened, then I was like, oh yeah, that's a fucking thing. He flies back to, why am I...
You blanked Dark World completely. That's basically what happened, right?
Yeah. Why am I blanking on the name of this city, man? Asgard. Thank you.
Asgard, yeah.
So he flies back there. Scourge starts running because he's supposed to announce him. And then you see Odin lounged back, eating grapes, watching a play about how great Loki is.
and you missed the other key point. There's a great big gold statue of Loki.
Yes.
That they passed as they were coming in.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Thor watches this for a minute and until the conclusion of the play, and then Odin makes a little speech, and Thor just, he's not buying it, man. He's done. I do like what he did next. I thought this was a very interesting way to do it, and he just hucks the hammer and then grabs essentially Odin by the back of the neck and then just starts explaining, hey, you know what? Nothing can stop Mjolnir from coming back to my hand.
Uh-huh.
Even your face. So let's see how this plays out. And then Loki shows himself because he's scared. He tried calling Thor's bluff, and we still don't know if Thor was bluffing or not.
I doubt it.
Well, I mean, is he really a killer?
Sometimes. I'm sure he's not too worried that his demigod brother's gonna die.
Yeah, especially since he already thought he was dead.
Yeah. A couple times now. So here's the thing. Did you know that there are some key people in that scene?
Yes. The guy who was playing Odin in the play is I forget the character's name, but he's in Jurassic Park.
Sam Wilson? Is that his name? Crap.
No, Sam Wilson is the Falcon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You got it right, though. I think it is Sam.
Sam. Dang, why can't I remember?
Shit. I just know him from Jurassic Park. He's the main character. Sam Neill.
Sam Neill, that's it.
Yeah, he plays Dr. Grant, or whatever.
That's right. And
then the other one was the guy who played Loki was Matt Damon,
right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was he Matt Damon, or was this Matt Damon Thor? I thought Matt Damon was Thor.
I don't think he was Thor. I think he was Matt. I think Matt Damon was playing Loki because I kept looking back at the guy who played Thor in
the
play.
Right. It was his brother. It was Chris Hemsworth's brother.
Yeah, and see, I kept wanting it to be Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Yeah, Luke Hemsworth.
Yeah.
But
I did catch that. I was like, Sam Neill. I was like, oh, I didn't realize the guy. Obviously, I don't remember the guy's name. And I was like, oh, that's the dude from Jurassic Park.
See, I really didn't pay any kind of attention to that, believe it or not.
So you didn't catch the Matt Damon thing?
Nope. Not at all.
Man.
Totally blew it right off.
What do you do during these movies, Clay?
Nice. I let my mind go blank 90% of the time.
That's, I mean, you gotta at least absorb the movie.
I did.
Come on.
In a blank state.
All right, fair enough. Well then, Clay, after the play and after Loki reveals himself, what happened next? Okay, John, what happened next?
That's when they went to back to Earth.
Yeah, that's when they went looking for Odin.
Yeah.
And then ran into Doc. No, by the way, I should point out that the that whole bit with him throwing Mjolnir and then holding Loki's head is actually from a comic.
Really?
Yep.
Did it work for Loki in the comic?
I'll be honest, I don't know. I just see the actual comic, but they didn't show the whole thing. They just showed a part of it.
Oh.
Probably not.
I just thought it was a really neat way. Like, I never really thought about it until he started talking and telling Loki, essentially, like, I don't think your head being here is going to stop this giant hammer from reaching my hand. So, you know, squish your head like a grape. But yeah, then they end up in New York on a sidewalk next to a building that is being currently torn down.
Shady Holmes. Care home.
The rest home, yeah. Shady Acres, yeah.
And Loki's immediate reaction is, I promise you, I left him here. He was here when I last saw it. And then he falls through the ground. He just, poof, vanished. And that's where Doctor I believe Strange. Thor meets Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
This scene kind of, like, I got a little confused on this scene. Every time the scene suddenly changed, were they just in a different part of that sanctuary that he
was
over?
Yeah, he was just bringing them through different parts of it and basically disorienting them.
Okay.
Which apparently worked because you were disoriented.
Yeah, very much. I do like the constantly refilling beer mug.
Oh, that's awesome. Thing too, by the way. That's a mythological thing.
Yep.
Because I seem to remember it being in D&D as well.
Mm-hmm. And then my favorite part, two of them, and I don't know why it Thor fucking with that like weird statue of things, and then he can't put it back right, and then eventually Doctor Strange is like just. Stop touching things. Just don't. Leading into, essentially, Doctor Strange said, hey, if I can help you find, you know, your dad, will you guys go back to Asgard and away from Earth?
I don't know what he's going to do now, but yeah.
And then when they went back down into, like, the foyer area, Thor holds out his hand for his umbrella, which is Mjolnir, and then you just hear a bunch of glass shattering.
Then he keeps apologizing.
Yep, that was my favorite part, I think, of this whole scene.
I don't know, I kind of like Loki's. I've been falling for 10 minutes.
Right?
30 minutes.
Or 30 minutes, yeah. That was pretty good.
And then he starts getting mouthy with Stephen Strange. He's like, you wizard, you don't know real magic. And then he zaps him to freaking, was it like New Zealand or some place like that?
Look like it.
Somewhere up in or Iceland, maybe? Greenland? Iceland, probably. I don't know. I don't know where they were. Did they ever mention, John, where they were?
No. Oh, you mean when they found Odin?
When they find Odin, yeah.
They were in, like, Norway, I think.
Norway? All
right. Yeah, because that was, I remember, because it's the Viking homeland, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, because he was looking at a fjord, I believe.
And, yeah, there's a nice little heartwarming thing where Odin talks to his sons before he poofs because he's essentially dying. Then he gives them a little bit of a warning that says that his death is, or his life is really the only thing holding Hela in her prison, essentially. So as soon as he dies, Hela's going to come free and, oh yeah, that's right, you guys have a sister.
Yeah, the really well-informed.
Yeah.
By the way, Now that I'm dying, I should tell you, I had another child. She was kind of important. Bye.
Right. I did like we'll get to this in a little bit, but I did like the little plot twist of like Odin and Hela before Thor was even, I guess, around, or maybe when Thor was too young to remember. And that's why, like, in the Asgard Palace, he covered all the original paintings.
Yep.
I did like that twist.
I think that happened before he was born, because Hela seemed to be surprised that there was another sibling.
Right.
So I'm guessing that happened before him.
Right. So the next notable part, other than Hela actually coming out of her prison, was... Thor and Loki decide to kind of stand up to her, and Thor throws his hammer at her, and she catches it and blows that shit into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's spoilers or not, but I know that that's going to stay broken at least for the next movie.
Hmm. Well.
Is it, John?
What? What's that?
You didn't watch the ending credits, did you?
I did watch the ending credits, and I heard Feige afterwards saying that they were broken. That is still gone.
The end credits that I watched, it's floating in space, is one piece.
Didn't see that then. We'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Would they really show two different endings, though?
I saw two endings at the end of during the credit rolling and then the end credits. So if there's a third one, I don't know about it. Because the one I saw was the one with what is obviously Thanos' ship coming out of and coming up to the Asgard. We're really getting ahead of ourselves. And then the last bit with Jeff Goldblum. That's the two I saw. So unless there's a third one I didn't see.
I didn't see one.
The what? You didn't see Jeff Goldblum? That was right at the end. You had to stay for the whole thing.
Huh. Get to the bottom of this right now.
Because I don't remember nothing about Mjolnir floating
in
space.
No, there's... Yeah, no, there definitely is. I will send this to you in Skype, John.
Alright.
And copy pasta. There you go. You can watch that while I bring up the next scene, essentially, after that happens. I don't remember how Hela left. Hela just leaves. She goes back to Asgard, right? After that?
No. Loki summons, gets Charles Scourge to summon him, bring him back to Asgard.
Yes.
He jumps in the beam.
Yes. They take the, not the Rainbow Bridge, but they take like the gateway the Bifrost, and she travels with them and essentially shoves them out of it. In different times, I guess. Because
it's complicated.
What wasn't very long for Thor was apparently weeks or something like that for Loki.
Yeah.
When they do end up re-meeting at the same place, coincidentally, they do get to the Junker planet. And for everybody who knows, who's seen the previews of Thor Ragnarok, you know that this is the Junker planet where they hold the gladiatorial combat, where the Hulk is, and he's the champion. I think they tried to be sneaky about, like, they didn't drop the Hulk's name right away, and they kept referring to him as the champion. The champion this, and the champion that. Everybody knows it's the Hulk. We saw the previews. We saw him bust through that wall.
Yeah, this is fake, by the way.
What?
Okay. Hey,
this is fake. It's all over. If you look through the YouTube comments, they're like, "This is fake. This is fake." Marvel did a tribute to Thor's hammer on this YouTube video. So whatever you're remembering isn't correct, is what I'm telling you.
That's hey, odd.
Don't look at me, man. I didn't. I stayed for the one end credit where they showed the massive ship, and then I didn't stay for the other.
Right. Okay. Well, we can talk about the Jeff Goldblum thing at the end. I don't want to interrupt. Right.
So essentially, they're on the Junker planet. Thor gets overrun, I guess, by like. I don't even know what they are. Scrappers, I guess? Mm-hmm. And this is where we meet the... I forget what Junker she is. Like, her code. But you end up finding out later on she's a Valkyrie.
Junker 142.
She's, yeah, she's the Valkyrie at that point.
And she lands on this ship, and she stumbles out and just falls out because she's a drunk. And then she gets up because they continue to just beat on Thor. She essentially says, hey, that's, I'm going to be taking him. And then she whoops all their asses by smashing her gloves together, which are connected to the massive armed guns on her ship, which I thought was super cool.
That was, yeah.
I also like the fact that she's a drunk. Like, uh-huh. It made for comic relief. Along with her interactions with Hulk later on.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually my favorite part of her discussions with the Hulk.
Now, long story short, she brings Thor to fucking the Grandmaster. Is that what he's called? Something like that?
No, not Grandmaster. It's, I don't think it's Grandmaster. What the hell is it? It's something slightly, it's like that, though.
The head of this essential planet.
Yeah.
Played by Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. I'll get it. 1 second.
All right.
Keep going.
So they have him tied to a chair that now... They don't strictly overpower Thor. They have this thing in his neck that just literally electrocutes him and causes,
that
like...
That didn't make sense to me.
Right, me neither. And I also figured, oh, well, if Thor just charges up and calls for his electric powers, he'll just short-circuit this thing. But I don't necessarily know... Thinking back on it now, it doesn't make sense that it would be like an electrical, like a taser almost. I think it's more of a thing that just causes paralysis in somebody.
Mm. I think the other thing... First of all, you are right, it is Grandmaster. Right. But secondly, I think you have to remember that Thor at this point doesn't really understand how his own powers work.
Right.
Because remember, he thinks Mjolnir is the reason why he has his powers.
Right.
And so there is this, it's probably sort of like, well, I don't get how I use them. And likely what comes later was probably initiated by all of these. Because
fair, but like even what happens,
charged him up.
Even what happens later, it doesn't like super. It doesn't overcharge or overclock the thing in his neck, though. And like he goes like full on like lightning, like Raiden, Mortal Kombat, yep. Raiden style. Yep.
Well, future tech. What can we say?
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. But yeah, a few things that we see in this, like they have him strapped to a chair, and they're pretty much explaining him. What's going to happen, who he is. He's now going to be he's going to be a gladiator in this arena, blah, blah, blah. Then we got to see the melt stick in action, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Because
I love
it's his own,
the way
what,
Jeff
like,
plays
it's, his,
it.
It's his cousin or something
cousin,
like that.
Cousin, yeah, yeah.
And then he just, like, pardons him from life.
Mm-hmm.
Touches him with the end of this rod, and the guy just literally starts to melt. And then the whole time, Thor is like, oh god, the smell! And, I don't know, it's... Thor's been in some pretty nasty places, and if that's bothering him, like...
I didn't think it was Thor that was complaining about the smell. I thought that was Jeff Goldblum, Grandmaster.
No, Grandmaster was complaining that he was standing in it. Like, he kept trying
to
back away.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Anyway, so they go continue on a little tour, and then Thor ends up seeing Loki just literally just chilling, drinking some champagne, talking to some people, just schmoozing. And apparently Loki's been here for weeks. So that's why I thought like the time is really wonky as far as the Bifrost and where you get apparently where you get shoved out of it. So yeah, Thor ends up going, and we get Stan Lee's interaction. He gets his little cameo as the old barber.
Yeah.
And Thor begs and pleads. First, he threatens Stan Lee to not cut his hair. And then when Stan Lee turns on his, like, weird death-cutting barbershop thing on his arm, then Thor starts begging for him to not cut his hair. I actually like him with the short hair.
Yeah, it looks like good. It kind of removes the blonde, though, which I thought was kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
You guys also kind of forgot one part.
Oh, I'm sure we're forgetting lots of parts. I'm going off of memory that was a week old, Clay. You saw it last night and you don't remember a lot of this.
There's a few parts that are hazy, but you guys also missed the introduction to the Grandmaster.
Okay.
When he's in that chair and that lights are happening, he's flying through stuff, and then he starts screaming like a little girl at the end.
Oh, yeah, and then he's just in a chair. Standing,
sitting there in a chair, and everybody's just kind of looking at him like, and he's
Like, I don't understand. Like, did they give him drugs or something beforehand that made him see all this, or was... Because that wasn't all just part of...
holographic projection.
Oh, all right. I was going to say, because that wasn't all just, like, the tunnel... Because it started in a tunnel from his little chair ride from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But then it continued until all of a sudden it's just like he's there and just screaming.
Yep.
I did find that funny. Thor, this big fucking god of thunder, screaming like a little girl. It was good. And then, let's see, from there... He gets shoved down into the gladiator pits, right? You get to go see... This is where we get meet my favorite character in the entire fucking movie. Korg, man. My man. So, John, I asked Clay last night, Clay, what did you think of Korg? I gave you a little bit of heads up, and I told you to keep an eye out for this particular character.
I actually thought he was pretty cool.
John, what did you think of Korg?
I really like the character. I think he was one of the best characters in the movie.
Hell yeah.
It's in a movie that stars Loki, I have difficulty picking somebody other than Loki, but he definitely was right up there.
Now, fun fact, Korg, I believe, if I remember correctly, he's a Cronin, is what we were reading before.
Yeah.
And his species were actually... hinted in two other Marvel movies. He was, his species, him not specifically Korg, but his species, was in Thor the Dark World, John.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the scenes where Thor's just sitting there whooping some village ass, and then this big giant rock dude comes stomping through, and then he has to beat the rock dude.
It's been a long time since I've seen Thor Dark World, so I'll have to take your word for it.
So he was a Cronin. And then the other one was a very brief scene, apparently, in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
All right.
Where they're jumping from...
Oh, right, when they're doing that.
They're doing, like, the weird, like, million-time space jump.
Yep.
One of the scenes is two Cronins on the planet surface just fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what a Cronin looks like is if you picture Thing from the Fantastic Four, but with like a slightly elongated head and not always orange. I think Korg was orange in the comic books.
Yeah, but he's definitely blue/gray.
Yeah, he's like a bluish gray in the movie.
Yeah, which I think was a very specific choice to avoid looking a little too much like Thing.
Yep. But yeah, no, Korg, hands down, my favorite character.
Question.
Yeah.
Was that a South African accent, an Australian accent, or a New Zealand accent? It was one of those three, and I didn't know which one.
Based off of what I read, because I did a little digging into Korg himself, it is a slight, it's an altered form of a New Zealandish accent, is what they called.
Yeah. Something like that.
And if I remember correctly from what I was reading this morning, he was actually voiced by one of the directors or producers.
Oh,
or
by
film.
The director. Yeah, what's his name? Shoot, I had it right here. Now I've forgotten it. Takia Waititi, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah,
I'm probably
some,
not
some crazy
totally
shit like that.
Yeah, it is T-A-I-K-A. That's his first name. And W-A-I-T-I-T-I.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. And I think...
What the hell?
Yeah, I think he must be from... Yeah, he's Polynesian descent.
Oh, Clay, you'd love this guy's name. Yeah, it's like Takia Waititi.
Takia Waititi.
Okay, I like the guy now.
Yeah,
my pronunciation. He's from New Zealand. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact, John, for you, because I think I already said this to Clay. So the Cronins were in, I believe, the first issue of the Thor comic book. They were known as the Rockmen from Saturn, or the Stone Men from Saturn.
Sorry. Yep.
And that's who Thor had to face in his number one issue were these things.
Mm-hmm.
And Korg himself was somebody that Thor had to face in his origin story. That's the importance of Korg as a character. But they didn't make any reference to him in this particular movie. They are just now meeting for the first time.
Right. So yeah, he's of Maori descent. That's what I meant, not Polynesian.
Oh, the Waititi guy?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm. You know, there's no chance in hell he's gonna listen to this. So
that's true. Yes,
I'm gonna get away with calling
course,
him Waititi.
You get an email from him. It's not Waititi. It's blah 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 blah.
or I get an email saying, "Hey, your co-host John mispronounced my name, and I want to thank you for pronouncing it correctly."
Could be. I'd have to listen to someone else say it.
Yep.
I'm gonna go with Waititi.
Yeah, Waititi.
Of course you would. Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
So we meet Korg, and we also get to meet Meeks, right? Is that his name? Meeks.
I think so. Yeah.
Meek. Yeah. Who's like this little weird bug guy with blade hands? Who's also a prominent character in the comic books, Joe.
Uh huh.
He wasn't.
I didn't read Thor at all. So sure.
He actually wasn't prominent in Thor.
Oh, right.
He was prominent in Planet Hulk.
Something else I haven't read yet.
So the thing is in the movie, he was pretty much essentially just there for comic relief. In the comics, from what I was reading, Planet Hulk or World War Hulk, one of those things where Hulk's on this planet, he is essentially the Grandmaster. He's essentially the ruler of this planet.
Yeah, that's Planet Hulk.
And he's gotten rid of the gladiatorial combat, and he pretty much made peace across the planet. He kind of united everybody, and Meek didn't like that because he's just a gladiator and he likes combat. To the point where the Hulk actually had a wife and child, and Meek fucking murdered them. And you can only imagine what kind of rage-inducing thing that brought the Hulk into.
So they bring a character that killed the Hulk's family in as a comedy piece.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Makes perfect sense.
Right?
Yep.
So one of my favorite scenes happens down here. I don't think it was this particular point, because we come down into like this weird gladiator ring hit a few different times, and we find out that like if you walk off camera, you end up walking back on camera immediately. Like there's no sense of time or like spatial distortion down here. It's weird. Even Korg says, yeah, it's weird down here.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But one of my favorite things is when Thor, you know, he's pretty much told, hey, if you can beat my champion in combat, you win your freedom, you can go home.
Mm-hmm.
So Thor is getting ready. He's getting amped up.
Reason.
Yep, he's getting amped up. He's going to go beat the champion. He doesn't know who this champion is, but he's Thor, right? He's just going to go out there and whoop some ass. And Korg tries to talk him out of it. And Thor's like, nope, I'm going to go beat the champion. And Korg's like, well, that's, you sound a lot like Doug. Doug said that, and Doug's dead. So you're like the new Doug. And then he just refers to Thor as new Doug.
New Doug, yeah. Honestly, that is one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. That, and actually, to be honest, which we haven't got to, is Jeff Goldblum's character. Every time he's on screen, I'm just giggling.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Jeff Goldblum.
Yep. His whole thing with the competition between the two ladies. No, it's just so funny. Anyway, go on.
I have a question for both of you. This Valkyrie. Once mm-hmm. Thor finds out she's a Valkyrie, he starts trying to appease to her Asgardian side.
Yep.
To me, it didn't seem like she... Because he kept saying, I'm Thor, son of Odin, blah, 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 god of thunder. It didn't seem like she believed him at first to me. But if she was a Valkyrie and he was Thor, wouldn't she, unless she was before his time?
I was about to say, it looked like the last time she'd been on Asgard was back when Hela was still around.
That's true.
So if all her sisters got killed and she was the last one and that disillusioned her from Asgard, then yeah, she probably doesn't know who the hell he is.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. So then we come to this big arena fight, which everybody who's seen most of the trailers have seen good portions of this. Thor comes out, he's got some swords, puts his helmet on, and then they introduce the champion, and out comes the Hulk, and...
Mm-hmm. You get the scene from the trailer.
Yep, where Thor just starts cheering, and he's like, yeah, we're friends from work.
I don't know where he got that from, because they've never been friends at all.
I don't know. Maybe, well, he might have said it, he might have been trying to name drop to get in the Grandmaster's good favor. Like, oh, this is your champion? Well, yeah, we're friends. So, you know, help me out.
Although, to be fair, there is something coming up, which is probably actually one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. But yeah, this bit is really funny. But because you see it in the trailer, it doesn't have quite the same hilarity as it would have if it had just happened in the movie. Like, if they'd have never said the Hulk was in the movie, and they were doing all this thing about, yeah, we got this big bad champion, he's going to be, you know, and you're like, okay, who the heck is this guy? And then it becomes the Hulk. Then you'd be like right with him going, yeah.
Right.
But instead, you're like, oh, yeah, this... Yeah, that was funny.
Yep.
Back when I saw it 2 months ago.
Right. That's one thing I don't like about movie trailers is they just give away some of the greatest scenes. Like
Marvel's terrible for that, I've noticed. They like to give away really important parts of movies.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's no context for what's going on, but they do give away stuff that they should never do. That's one thing I will say about Lucasfilms is they never give away anything really important. Or if you're Rogue One, they refilm the whole movie and all of your trailer doesn't make any sense.
Right.
but, you know, largely, you know, Last Jedi, I still don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Whereas with pretty much every Marvel trailer, the closer you get to the movie, the more likely it is you know basically the plot line.
Right.
And it's like, that was actually one of my biggest hindrances with the last Avengers movie is knowing way too much about the movie before we actually got to the movie.
I will say we missed... my whole timetable here is messed up. I don't remember which part
I wouldn't
happens.
Worry about it if you're missing things, man.
there was one part where Thor's down in that gladiator ring again and Loki comes and visits him. And essentially, I think he tries talking Thor out of going back to Asgard.
Yeah, he's trying to get
him. Well, because Loki's in good with the Grand Master, so he doesn't want to screw everything up.
Yeah, and Thor just starts throwing things at him and watching them go through because he's obviously an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the big gladiator fight. Thor and Hulk duke it out. It's actually...
Thor wins, which actually surprised me, because when he was talking about it in the trailer, I figured he'd lost.
Well, ultimately, he lost. I think overall, he lost. He held his own.
No, he won.
Well,
Thor won. Because, yeah, that's why Banner and him in the end ended up in the same thing. Because he beat him. It's just, it was after a hell of a big fight.
Right.
And the Grandmaster did kind of cheat by putting him down.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Hulk did, like, this superhuman, like, fucking sky-high jump and then landed on Thor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why I say, yeah, Thor won, but at the same time, he kind of lost in the end. Like, he still got knocked out and put down by the Hulk.
Well, yeah, that's why when they talked about it, Thor's all like, oh, yeah, I totally beat you easy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he never wants to be perceived as losing.
So you do find out in this little, I think you get a glimpse of it in the arena, and then we find out more afterwards. But the Hulk has not been Banner in a while. The Hulk's
2 years.
Yeah,
2 years.
The Hulk's personality has shined forward and refused to go back.
You know? The other thing that was kind of interesting about that was Hulk was a lot less hulky as he was talking. Like, he wasn't as, like, normally when they portrayed the Hulk in the other movies, he's been sort of like almost incoherent in talking.
Right.
Like more puny god, yeah, and caveman, stuff like that, right?
Caveman-esque.
Yeah. Whereas with this one, while he wasn't like Banner abilities, he was definitely smarter.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the Hulk for 2 years. He has had time to adapt to learning. Like, he knows how to talk. It's just,
which makes me wonder if they're going to do the whole thing with the Hulk basically being Banner eventually.
Well, at times, didn't they split? Like, wasn't the Hulk its own entity?
Well, there's been times, yeah, where they've been different people, but there's also been points where Banner and the Hulk basically shared the same mind.
Right. And then you had the Green Hulk, who was actually very coherent with his speech.
Yeah, and the Gray Hulk was the weirdo.
Mr. Fix-It, man. Gray Hulk was Mr. Fix-It. Don't bring in Gray Hulk here. The Red Hulk is
and then Red Hulk.
General Ross.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
We're back. Now we're back in Hulk's, like, I guess, room.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor wakes up. Hulk's in a hot tub. Then he gets out, and Thor just, you know, images.
Sorry, burned. I got a phone call. I got a mute.
Yep. And then, yeah, like you said, Clay, Thor's pretty much traumatized. Thor finds out that there's the Quinjet down in the thing. Figures, okay, well, we got to bust out now. Dude, I don't remember a lot of this stuff. A lot of stuff happens.
He gets Hulk to get the
Valkyrie to show up. And then you got to see, like, the interactions between the Valkyrie and the Hulk, where they kind of jokingly spar each other. Now, the reason that's in there is because in a lot of the early Hulk comics, he actually teamed up with the Valkyrie, because the Valkyrie is a character. He actually teamed up with Valkyrie in a lot of the earlier Hulk comic books. So this was kind of a nod to that. Which I thought was nice. And then essentially Thor pretty much tells the Valkyrie, yeah, we're gonna go, we're gonna leave. And he throws, like, this giant metal ball or something at the window, and it comes back and hits him in the face.
Knocks him ass down, yeah.
And then he busts ass out the window, goes to the Quinjet. Hulk finds him and, like, tears the whole back of the Quinjet apart, getting into it.
Yeah.
And then the Thor ends up playing a video of Black Widow, that one about calling him back. I believe it was recorded at the end of the Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And then Hulk reverts back to Banner. And that's when you realize Banner has a conscious being, hasn't been around for 2 years. And then they kind of go through the streets. They try to get a disguise. Banner's disguised as Tony Stark. because Banner is the disguise anyway. Thor just puts a fucking blanket over his head.
Yeah.
Then the Valkyrie eventually shows up, and then they figured, okay, well, she'll join the party. They go back to one of the rooms where the Valkyrie had essentially detained Loki, because there was this big ongoing thing where Jeff Goldblum's character wanted the Hulk found. There was like a citywide search. The Loki told him, I can get him back in 24 hours. The Valkyrie said, I can get him back in one.
Two.
Two. And then Loki said one. And then the race was on. Then they had a little bit of an interaction, and Loki showed her memories that she was trying to suppress, and then she essentially whooped his ass and chained him up for it.
Yeah, Loki spends a lot of his time imprisoned.
Yeah, he does. And
he likes to whip the chains.
He does, yeah. Yeah. A bit funny that way.
And he likes being female horses. It's weird.
Apparently, yeah.
So they get back to the room, and like, there's like this thing where Banner talks to Loki, and Loki gives him a death threat, and then they figure out, hey, based off of what Heimdall told Thor, who's also okay, we missed all of that, I guess. Heimdall is missing. He steals the sword from the Bifrost and starts trying to get all the Asgard citizens to safety, because Hela comes to Asgard after she dispatches Loki and Thor. And then kind of gives everybody an ultimatum. It's like, hey, kneel and join me or die. And she kills two, I forget what their names are, but like Thor's companions there. They're also really famous in Asgard. There was Freya wasn't there, but then there was the two other guys, and then like the weird the dude with the Asian one with the spiked ball. She kills two of them right off the bat.
Yeah,
just a bunch of knives and daggers and stuff to their chests. And then the Asian guy with the spiked mace or whatever is now leading the Asgardian army, and she just lays waste to all of them because none of them want to kneel for her. And that gives you kind of a sense of her real power. And then she starts figuring out, okay, well, I'm going to stretch this across, you know, more realms, but she needs Heimdall's sword to do it, because it's the only key to open the Bifrost. And then she hears wind of the citizens who might know where the sword is, so she just starts, you know, essentially going on a warpath of killing people. So Heimdall's main duty is to smuggle essentially all of the people out of Asgard and keep them safe.
Yep.
And then he interacts with Thor, because Thor calls out to him and tells him to take the big portal to get back home.
Devil's Anus.
And then we find out it's called the Devil's Anus. Long story short, they fucking steal a ship. Loki tries to double cross Thor as per the usual. But Thor immediately sees through it. Like, you see Loki split off, and then they're talking for literally like 15 seconds, and then Thor stops and then just turns into the real Loki. And then he actually stuns Loki using the same neck thing that he got stunned with, and then leaves him there, takes the ship,
and tosses the control for it away from him.
Yep. So he just is in a constant state of paralysis or shock or whatever it is that it's doing to him. And then he takes the ship and leaves. And Banner, I think, eventually... Banner is with the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
And then she throws him into the other ship.
Ejects him from her ship.
Yeah. And
hope you're stronger than you look.
And then we find out, you know, there's a pretty cool piloting sky fight scene, and then Banner ends up having to pilot the Goldblum's ship, and Thor and the Valkyrie go through and literally by hand start dismantling other ships, Then we find out there's no real actual weapons on this ship because it's a orgy ship.
Orgy ship, yeah.
But there are pyrotechnics, which blinds one of the people into crashing, which is neat.
Birthday party.
And then they all fly through the devil's anus. and then one of my favorite scenes, I don't know if this happened next or it happens in a little while, I know that, but Korg ends up having his resistance. He finally gets his resistance, and they're going to go take a ship, and they see Loki stunned on the ground, and they turn it off, and they're like, hey, guys, you know, you need, look like you need some help. We're going to get on that ship over there. Do you want to come with us? And Loki's just like, all right, you guys need a leader, I guess. ever the opportunist, Loki.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Korg, he's so polite, like, all the time. Like, he just doesn't ever sound angry or mean. So then we get back to Asgard, and...
He's a rocky bunch of jelly.
Yep. Big fight in Asgard. So, Hela has taken the Eternal Flame and woken up both Fenris... I think they call him Fenris in the movie.
Yeah, which is weird.
And a bunch of undead Asgardians.
Like just they're weird honored skeleton. Soldiers.
Yeah.
Undead. Yeah, I think is the right word, though.
Yeah, they're a bunch of... Essentially, they're all undead. Zombies. Yeah. So, let's see. Then there's a big fight. Essentially, Heimdall tries to get everybody across the Rainbow Bridge. That is what,
like saying that.
That is what it's called, right? What is it called?
Bifrost.
No, I thought the Bifrost is like literally like what the portals were.
The Bifrost Bridge is what it's called.
Oh, the Bifrost Bridge. Okay, I call it the Rainbow Bridge because of Mario Kart. For anybody listening, anytime I say
it definitely
Rainbow
looks
Bridge,
like the Rainbow Bridge, but it is called the Bifrost Bridge, yeah.
All right, the Bifrost Bridge.
Which I think basically is, this is a really cool thing that we wanted to use in the CGI.
Right.
So we're going to keep it even though it makes no sense at all. Hey, you want to fast travel? Come walk this bridge for 20 minutes.
Right. So essentially Heimdall's leading a bunch of the Asgardians across this bridge, and he's going to use the Bifrost to get them somewhere. Thor and... No, I think it was just Thor at first goes to try to deal with Hela. And then, so you have Heimdall and the survivors on the middle of this bridge. You got Fenris over by the Bifrost on the other end. And then you have this undead army moving in on one side.
With Scourge.
With Scourge.
Yeah, Scourge.
Yeah. And then in comes, you got Banner flying the ship with the Valkyrie using this massive gun and just trying to annihilate what she can. And she's shooting at Fenris when Fenris is charging. Heimdall's whooping ass with that long-ass sword. And then she realizes she can't take down this dog. This dog just is not going down with these blasts. So then Banner tells her, okay, you want to know who I really am? That's fine. He just dives out the plane. I don't remember the last time I laughed so hard because he hits the fucking thing and just splatters. He just ragdolls right as soon as he hits it. And then just as the dog is about to get to Heimdall, you hear him kind of whimper a little bit and then growl because now Banner is the Hulk. Grabs him by the tail. They wrestle for a little bit off the bridge. Which I thought was weird when Banner hit the ground like that and just ragdolled. It must not have been from a height that would have killed him instantly because I thought the whole thing...
I think he was like 10, 15 feet off the ground when he jumped.
I thought he was higher than that because he hit with pretty good force.
He did, but I didn't think he was that high up. I didn't, because they were coming in to try and rescue their people, right? So
yeah, because he couldn't have been at a lethal distance because anything that would have killed him, the Hulk would have turned before it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
But still good for comic relief, I suppose. That was one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the entire theater did start laughing at that point.
Yep. So then while all this fighting is going on, Thor and Hela are fighting. Thor, I don't know, he seems to be doing all right with his, like, long pole arm thing. But eventually Hela overtakes him. She is the better fighter. When it comes to actually, like, technique, I guess.
She's stronger than him, right, as well.
She fucking rips his eye out with a dagger. She owns him. Except Odin got something for getting his eye ripped out.
Thor just got punked.
Thor just, you know, got an eye patch. But she continually just sits there and taunts him about, like, oh, you're nothing to me. I don't even know what you're the god of. Can you remind me? And that's when he starts having flashbacks of, you know, dear papa. And Odin essentially tells him, you know, Asgard isn't place. It's all the people in it. You know, that's where Hela derives her power from. That's where you get your power from, you know. So then Thor goes full on Raiden again. Like, for the second time in the movie, but I think this time it's, like, even more powerful.
Well, he was also told that his power never came from his hammer at that point.
Right. Yeah, dad tells him at that point. Yeah.
And, so, like, he smacks her down and then jumps out and starts helping everybody on the bridge. And I love the music. I gotta talk about the music in this movie. Awesome music choices on all of the fight scenes throughout the whole movie. Everything had, like, that old school, like, even the title picture. I love the title picture. It had, like, the old school, like, 80s feel to it. Anyway, I had to.
Yeah, the acid trip?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he goes through and smashes a bunch of the undead army to bits. Loki comes back with Korg and spaceship, and they actually start trying to get a bunch of the survivors onto that spaceship. Loki does some pretty badass moves. He's, you know, he does his Loki thing. And then Hela comes, and, man, no matter what Thor or Valkyrie throw at her, she's just too good, man. But then Thor has the bright idea of, well, that dude from the beginning with the giant ass horns, let's just summon him and let him have Asgard. Let Hela fight him, you know? So he sends Loki down into the vault, which, I mean, I guess is the smart decision.
Sort of.
Yeah,
considering
not really.
What he steals.
Yeah. Because he does take the test. That was the Tesseract, right?
Tesseract, yeah. Yep. He took the Tesseract, which is a Infinity Gem.
Yep. So, I mean, that's good. But he gets the job done regardless. And out from fucking spurring up from the mountain and from the palace and everything, here's just this massive lava guy. And I forget. I don't think he impales Hela, but how does he actually end up? Does he?
He cuts her in half.
Yeah, she's
his
like
sword
on the
when he stabs it through and into the Asgard, the yeah. center of Asgard.
Yeah. And then again, one of my favorite scenes involving the Hulk.
Korg explained the foundations.
Oh well, no, that one's coming up.
Yeah,
that one's coming up, but the Hulk. When Thor and all of them are just watching this happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
he's
he
like...
goes for it.
And then he's like, yeah, as long as nothing, you know, bad happens, this should end Hela, blah, blah, blah. And then you just see Hulk jump in and start smacking this big demon guy around. And Thor just yelling at him like, the Hulk, no, down, boy. Like, for
yeah.
once in your life, do
for
not
once
smash.
In your life, don't smash.
So yeah, they all end up getting on the ship. The Hulk begrudgingly gets on the ship.
Yeah, I love that. But monster.
Yeah. And as they're leaving, you just see this guy literally just kicking buildings over and just smashing everything in Asgard. And Korg, they're all watching, and Korg's just like, he gives this big heartful speech about how the foundations are strong and you can always rebuild, and then Asgard blows up into a million little pieces.
Nope, those foundations are gone.
Nope, foundations are gone.
Yep.
And then we essentially get to the end of the movie. All of the Asgardians are on the ship. And I will say Scourge did help out. In the end, he did fight for Asgard, and he died for Asgard. Using Dez and Troy.
Yeah.
But at the end, you know, Thor takes his seat at the helm of the ship, and they're all wondering where to go, and he asks Korg, or asks Meek. He's like, you know, where are you from? Let's go wherever that is. And Korg is holding on to Meek. He says, oh, no, Meek's dead. He died on the bridge. I stepped on him, and I've just been carrying him around because I felt really bad.
And of course, he's still alive.
And then Meek makes a noise. He's like, oh, well, you are alive. Oh, what was the question again? and then they decide on Earth, I guess. And that was essentially the end of the movie.
Yep. And then the post-credit scenes.
Yep, then you get your post-credit scenes. You did get a kind of a heartwarming feeling, or a heartwarming scene with Thor and Loki, where Thor's, you know, admiring his new eye patch and how badass he looks with one eye. And then Loki comes in and starts talking to him, and
so
he throws a baseball or something and says, if you were really here, I'd even give you a hug. And then Loki catches it. Yeah. Here. So what were you going to say, John?
So I have a kooky theory on that regard, but let's get to the final post-credit scene for me. All right,
so I only saw one of the post-credit scenes. I didn't stay for the very, very end.
Apparently I only saw one, too.
Oh, God. So the last one, the one you guys haven't seen, right? So say the first one if you want.
Okay, so the first post-credit scene, we'll call it the mid-credit scene, is them on their ship. They decide that they're going to go to Earth. And then it pans out because there's this big, massive shadow that overtakes them. And then the ship that they're on is fucking humongous to begin with, but this ship that overshadows them is
it dwarfs them by a lot.
50 times larger than the ship that they're on.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Star Destroyer versus the Super Star Destroyer sort of sizing difference.
And they never actually specify who it is, but we can hazard a guess that that's most likely Thanos' ship.
It's been confirmed by somebody at Marvel that it's Thanos' ship, yeah.
Well, in the movie, it's not stated.
No, they didn't.
There's not,
they
like, a big giant sign that says Thanos' ride.
Thanos' ship! Hello! Yep. So, the final credit sequence ends with them on the garbage planet. You see a door open, and the Grandmaster comes out of it, and all of those garbage collector guys are around. And they're all, like, pointing guns at him and such. And he's like, yay, we won. Isn't that great? You guys did wonderful. We're all good now. And he's like, goes on about this whole thing. And he says, you know, in every revolution, you got to have a bad guy. I'm your bad guy. Hey, isn't that great? And he's like, and then the very last thing he says is, so I guess it was a tie then. And that's where it ends.
All right.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm guessing that's...
No, it's the Grandmaster. He doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it was so fucking funny. I just died laughing at the end of that. It was just so funny. But that's the actual end credit scene. There was no scene with Mjolnir floating in space.
I remembered that for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I watched it after, but...
Yeah, possibly. Maybe. But...
Yeah, I don't know.
There's so many people that get up before that final credit sequence. I'm all like, you guys haven't watched a Marvel movie before or what?
I just had to come home to record something. So
yeah, to be fair, though, Spider-Man Homecoming had a bit of an issue that way because we sat through the end and then we got Captain...
I thought that was hilarious, though.
Yeah.
That was one of the best end credit ones.
Really? I said Revenants.
Hell no, that was one of the best ones. Because at the end of that one, you get Captain America talking to you about patience. Patience and expectations, and how sometimes patience just doesn't pay off.
Actually work. Yep.
So ultimately, one thing about the collector, the Grandmaster John, I don't know if you were on the call when I was talking to Clay about this, because we did. I did a little bit of digging beforehand. He's actually one of the, I forget what title he has technically, but they're like the fathers of the universe, essentially. Or the keepers of the universe. Another one that we have already met is also the Collector, is on par.
Yeah, well, Collector and Grandmaster are actually related. So that's why they look the same, basically.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
So let me grab this real quick. The Elders of the Universe. He's one of the elders, ageless elders
Although
of the universe.
He is played as such a buffoon, you would never know that.
Oh, yeah. He is, different media appearances depict him as the brother of the collector.
Oh, they're brothers. Yeah, brothers, not.
Let's see.
Okay, it's the champion, the collector, the gardener, and the grandmaster, and the runner are the elders. Five elders.
That doesn't. What? The runner.
Yep, the runner.
Grandmaster has abilities. The user.
To be fair,
the
they first appeared in
Primordial.
1966, so it wasn't exactly recent.
Huh. So, the abilities of the Grandmaster are: he's a user of the power Primordial. He has immortality, master of all games, master strategist and tactician, energy control, and size and matter manipulation, along with the ability to will the death and resurrection of another.
Right.
So.
So apparently, the elders are a group of 11. Or there's more than 11. So there is quite a lot of them, but.
Oh, wow. There are a lot of members of the elders.
Yeah, the Elders of the Universe are the last survivors of an otherwise extinct race known for their personal obsessions, such as collecting, gaming, fighting, and pursuing them fanatically.
Yep, you got the Architect, Astronomer, Caregiver, Champion of the Universe, Collector, Contemplator, Explorer, Father Time, Gardener, Grandmaster, Judicator, Obliterator, Possessor, Runner, and Traitor.
Yeah. Basically, they're known for more about their aspects as names, effectively. So, I guess what I'm saying is prepare to see at least a couple more of them in Guardians of the Galaxy at some point.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so kooky theory time.
Kooky theory time. And then we're going to get into the rating, and then we'll do our sign-off.
Sounds good. So, kooky theory. I think that what we're going to see after we're done with Infinity War and possibly Avengers 4 is Thor become Odin and someone else take up the mantle of Thor, thus allowing them to move on from Chris Hemsworth.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I don't think that's a kooky theory. Because he does, I believe, pass off his powers of Thor.
Mm-hmm. Well, the title of Thor isn't actually isn't a person. It's a title, it seems. Because there's been lots of different people be Thor in the comics. So.
I like the chick Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the problem with that is it's Natalie Portman's character.
They can recast her if you have a big problem with Natalie
Portman.
Yeah, you'd
have to, yeah, pretty much.
Now, I don't under. I guess anything's possible. The thing is like Thor is his name though, and I know it's a title because a lot of people pose and possess the power of Thor.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's not even a title, it's more like an idea. But like Thor becoming Odin, I don't know. You ever look at Chris Hemsworth, man? You're just gonna say, "Oh, hey, that's Thor."
Yeah.
And you're not gonna. You're not gonna call it.
I get it. Odin. But what I'm saying is they seem to be positioning him to be basically Odin.
Yeah. By role, maybe not by name, mm-hmm. But
he could hand his title down to someone else. Is what
true.
I'm saying.
Yep. No, I definitely see that happening.
Hmm.
I'd like to see, in fact, one thing we glanced over too, that is another thing that an Easter egg that I read was, remember the Grandmaster's tower, how it had all those faces and they were mid process of constructing the Hulk's face on the top.
Mm-hmm.
One of those faces was Beta Ray Bill.
It was, yeah. Quite correct.
I don't have a clue who that is.
Beta Ray Bill is an alien. I don't remember what species he is, but he takes up the mantle of Thor at one point.
Yep.
Yeah. He has his own version of Mjolnir. He has all of the powers of Thor, and he becomes one of the Thor. In fact, there are like four,
a lot like a dinosaur.
There were like four or five people in the universe who became Thor at one point that they actually became the Thor Corps.
Mm-hmm. Because basically,
one of
to beat Thor, you just have to lift his hammer.
Well, yeah, anybody who's worthy of being Thor would have the ability to lift the hammer, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they become Thor.
He's a Corbinite, by the way.
Ah, all right, there you go. One of them's a frog, I know that. There's a Thor frog. There's a Thor
it's
android.
Comic books, Clay. I mean, you know what it is.
No, I used to read, but mine was Ghost Rider. That's who I liked best. But.
Well, yeah, I used to read X-Men. I never liked the Avengers. That's why I don't know much about them.
Yes.
Because honestly, growing up, I always thought the Avengers were incredibly lame. So,
now I have a question for both of you. Is there going to be another standalone Thor movie?
Probably not.
Only if it's with a different person.
Okay. And moving forward, what's the next, other than the Black Panther, what's the next major film
coming out? Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, and then it's Captain Marvel, okay. And Homecoming 2. I don't know if it's before Avengers 4 or not, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's okay. The ones that are left.
Now, given what happened in this Thor movie,
mm-hmm.
do you think these characters are going to make an appearance in the Infinity War movie?
Well, yeah, because both Thor and Loki are in the movie.
Oh, right. I didn't know if they were going to put the Hulk in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. He's in the movie as well. At least they've shown scenes with him wearing the dotted stuff.
All right.
So,
well,
yeah.
Moving on to rating this, then. Because yeah. I don't have any other theories or any questions, unless you guys do.
Nope. That's just my only one.
Clay, do you have any theories or questions?
No.
All right. Well, moving on to rating this, on a scale from 1 to 10, John, how would you rate this, and would you recommend it to other people?
I would absolutely recommend it to other people. I think it is by far the best Thor movie. It is one of the better Marvel movies. It's in my top tier, but I can't say it's the top three.
Would you put it in your top five?
Yes, probably.
Okay. All right.
Definitely. It's in that upper tier. Like, I have tiers of movies with Marvel because there's so bloody many of them.
Right.
And like, Dark World and Iron Man 3 are my bottom tier. And then there's a whole big passel of them in the middle. And then there's about five or six that are probably the top tier ones.
Right.
Spider-Man Homecoming, if you want to call that a Marvel movie, is one of them. Guardians of the Galaxy, the original Avengers movie, those are my favorites out of all of them. And then this would definitely rank in that category. But I couldn't say, yeah, 4 stars out of 5 or something like that. And it's just,
right.
I think it's hard to kind of pin it down that way, but it's definitely, it's a really good movie. It's one of the Marvel movies that you can sit there and watch over and over again and not get bored, which I think is what makes a really good movie. If you can watch it several times and still enjoy it, Yep. You know, still laugh at the same bits, still have that same sort of fun experience you had when you first saw it. You know, because, I mean, in all honesty, some of the biggest points of it were already spoiled before we even got to the frickin' show.
Right.
So yeah. that for me was, so it was almost like rewatching the movie in some respects. I do wish they had kept the Hulk reveal until the end, but I know why they didn't, because it was all over the internet.
Right.
But I think it would have been nice not to know how he gets revealed. But I think you still would have known who the big baddie, you know, who the big champion is, even if they hadn't have told you.
So anybody from Marvel, if you're listening, John wants you to be a little bit more tight-lipped about your fucking...
Well, stop scripts. Giving away the entire freaking movie before we actually get to the movie. How about that?
Yep.
I mean, the entire plot line was well known before we got there.
Yes.
I mean, I think the only thing we didn't know was how it was going to end. That was it.
All right, so I'm going to ask Clay the same question. Clay, if you can, on a scale from 1 to 10, how would you rate this movie? Would you recommend it to other people, and does it make your top 5 in Marvel movies?
I would say yes, it makes the top 5. I would rate it, or recommend it to other people who watch it. I'm with John on that. Like, if you watch the trailer, you, in my opinion, you pretty much watch the entire movie. And they got to stop doing that, because they're giving away too much. And they're relying on the... I don't know. It's,
kind of their name value?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's Marvel, so yeah, it's a good movie. And it's like, you know, if you want to make a good movie, I've always liked the movies best that didn't just show the entire thing in the trailer. They like showed maybe a couple characters and one line, and then that was it.
Well, the thing, I
the greatest movie.
Yeah, and I think you can do that by showing maybe stuff from the first 10 to 20 minutes of your movie, yeah. Which kind of gives you a trailer that tells you, okay, this is kind of what this is about, but it doesn't give you like end sequences and stuff. Like even Spider-Man Homecoming did that. They gave away like the final battle and stuff, and you're like, I mean, it was a little bit more vague because they didn't put it as clear, but still, I mean, it's just like, don't do that. Don't right. give away stuff in the middle and at the end.
Yeah.
I'd like for them to stop. Like, if you make a movie trailer, don't show the villain. Like, yeah, we all knew the villain was Hela, blah, 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 whatever. But I still think it would have been cooler if you can make a trailer, show ominous scenes. Like, you could have shown the scene of just her hand crushing Mjolnir.
Or don't even show that. Or, like, yeah. Why give away one of the biggest things that happens in your movie?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you went into that movie not knowing that was going to happen?
Man. I mean, I do know some people who they won't watch movie trailers.
Refuse to watch. Yeah, my wife's like that. She doesn't want to see the trailers. I mean, we yep. see them because we go to the movies. That's it right. for her.
So... But yeah, I mean, that is something that they should probably look into. But then again, I don't know too many people who are sitting there complaining about it on a public forum, so maybe it's not raising as many
flags. Oh, they are. They are definitely people complaining. I've read enough about it to know.
Well, then all you fuckers who are complaining, rally your troops, join the resistance, and march on Marvel. Okay? Make a change. Make a stand. Yeah.
That'll work. Just, or, you know, here's an idea that I'm starting to practice, which is watch one trailer, but don't watch all of the little commercials, all of the other trailers, all their little behind the scenes shit that they do that gives away so much of the movie. Like, I'm coming to the point now where I just want to see the original trailer, and then I just try not to watch another one after that.
Right.
Because it's annoying.
I'm the type of person, I can't be spoiled on things. Like, I just don't have that sense. There are, okay, I shouldn't say that. There
I was going to say, Webb
is
just always surprised.
There are, I mean, not necessarily always surprised, but like, there are very, very few things that I care if they get spoiled. As far as like TV shows, movies and stuff, yeah, I mean, if you want to tell me the plot of the movie, like, I would listen, if I didn't do this podcast, I would listen to this podcast before I went and saw Thor. I wouldn't care. A lot of the times when people tell me about, like, an episode of a TV show is something, like, okay, that sounds really cool. Now I'm eager to go watch it. And it doesn't matter if it's like revealed to me or whatever. I can only think of really one thing that got ruined for me that I got upset about. And that was Diablo 3. There was a storyline in Diablo 3 that got ruined for me early, and I like it legitimately upset me. Mainly okay. because, well, you say, okay, John, I waited years and years and years between Diablo 2 to when Diablo 3 finally got released, and it was teased so many times prior to that.
All right, fair
and enough. I'm a diehard Diablo fan. Like, mm-hmm. I love all Blizzard games, but I started by playing Diablo. And I played Diablo 1, I played Diablo 2, the expansion and everything, and then it teased for years and years and years. Finally, Diablo 3 hit, I start playing through, and a buddy of mine fucking ruins a big reveal for me, and I just shut my fucking computer off. I was like, fuck.
See, I have the same problem with that, not so much with movies, but when I've pre-recorded a sporting event. Gotcha. If somebody tells me what the final score is, I'm like, well, what the hell is the point in watching it now?
Right.
You know, because for me, if I'm going to PVR something, I want to be able to, like, sit there and watch it and not feel like, oh, I've already had the ending ruined, so why do I care? Yeah, exactly. Whereas with movies and such, I mean, like Star Wars, right? I listen to a lot of the spoilers. I try not to listen to everything, but I do listen to quite a bit, and I do know a lot of what's going down, simply because my curiosity and my desire for information. But I also limit the amount of information I intake, so I don't get everything spoiled. Like, if I see something that's directly spoiling the movie, I usually back away from it.
So you must be really disappointed at every, like, Oilers game when they lose it, right?
Shut the fuck up.
I love you, John. I love you. I had to do that one. I did that one for Edquist.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm just going to throw him under the bus. He told me to do it.
No, of course he did.
I love you, Edquist.
He's such a hockey fan, too.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, I on a scale from 1 to 10, I give this movie probably a good 9. There was very seldomly was I bored with any of it. Mm-hmm. Even the lulls, like the drop in action, were filled with comedic scenes. If there was a drop in comedy, it was filled with something intense or
story driven
that was building up to a very intense moment. So I give this easily a solid 9. I would definitely put it in my top 5, maybe my top 3.
I don't think it's there yet for me, in a few rewatchings I might think differently, but...
The thing is I'm real big on the comedic aspect, and this movie had a lot of comedic aspects, but, like, to me, like you said, Guardians of the Galaxy is still above it for me, Ant-Man is still above it.
Yeah, Ant-Man's a really decent movie. This is the thing, it's so funny, too, because when I talk to people and they talk about DC movies, and I'm like, well, you know, this one was this level, this one was that level... And people don't understand that it's like, you know, I look at Marvel movies in that tiered format, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was to put DC movies in the Marvel movie tier, it would be like Batman v Superman would be in that low tier. And then it would be like Suicide Squad would be in the middle tier and Wonder Woman would be in the top tier.
Yep.
That's the same thing with Marvel movies. I have them in different tiers. But, you know, it doesn't mean that if you're in the top tier, somehow you're better than the others. Or not better than the others. That the movies in the top tier are somehow... There's like a ranking system. I don't have a clear ranking system because Avengers and Guardians for me feel almost on the same level. So it's really hard for me to say this one's better than that one.
Right. And see, like, I view like any, my ranking system purely sits down to how often can I sit down and watch this movie? Like, could I sit down and watch this movie
again? Yeah.
Several more times throughout the course of a week or, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Or literally, sometimes it boils down to, hey, if I had TV, like if I had cable, and multiples of these comic book movies were on different channels at the same exact time, which one would I have on my TV?
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I have the same thing with Star Wars movies. I have a ranking system with them, and there's some that I have watched probably close to 100 times, and there's other ones which I have watched twice.
Episode 2. Episode 2, is that your favorite? Your all-time favorite one?
You're talking about which two are we talking about?
Because no, Star Wars Episode 2.
Episode 2? No, it's my lowest rated out of all of them, actually.
Are you positive?
God, I fucking hate that.
Are you positive?
Actually, I've learned a way to watch that movie, and it's basically ignore anything with that. You skip anything with anime and with Anakin and Padme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, if you combine their names, it is anime, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah, essentially.
If you skip their love story bullshit, that movie's actually pretty good.
So, before we sign off, I have to ask John a question.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that you wrote in Skype? Director's dead is Tiwanao Apanuni?
That's the director's father's name, yes.
All right, well...
He's Maori.
It's no Watiti, though.
I understand. I understand.
Tiwanao Apanua.
Good try. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not even going to bother.
I'm still sticking with Watiti. That's all I know.
I like titties.
So, John...
too. Yes.
Actually, let's start with Clay. Clay, where can people find you on the internet if they wanted to talk to you or chat or comment on anything that you've said in this episode?
Good luck.
That is correct. Clay hates all of you, so he refuses to be on social media. So if you have a message for Clay, feel free, send it to me, and I will pass it along happily.
Keep them all. I don't want them.
John, I'm sure he's got an email somewhere.
John, where can people find you?
You can find me at JohnDMP on Twitter, and many, many other locations.
And why don't you go ahead and plug our Christmas stream so I don't fuck
up. So we have a Christmas live stream, 24 hours. It is going to be fundraising for Anxiety Gaming, which is a gaming, not gaming, it's not gaming, nothing. It's a charity which raises money for people who have mental health issues. Pardon me, to help get them counseling and many, many other things. It works with gamers, but not totally with gamers. But it definitely is kind of begun and was part of that community, which I think is wonderful. And so if you want to donate, please go to distractionsmedia.com/donations. Click on the donations button there. And for some reason, I just had a noise go on. And that will take you to our donation page where you can actually donate to the charity. And if you donate $10 or more, you are entered into a draw to win a Steamed gift card, a couple of RPG books gift cards, as well as merchandise for us, an ebook, and possibly a few other things we'll see. But for $10, that's a pretty damn good opportunity for you to win probably over $100 worth of stuff. So it's well worth your time to consider.
Yep. Now, are we excluded from that too, John?
Anybody who works for Distractions Media, it doesn't include people like Clay, who are not directly a part of the group.
Oh, just throw me out there. Why don't
you? Well, no, I'm thinking more along the lines of people who aren't necessarily like I kind of kept it to
involved in the day-to-day thing.
Yeah. The podcasts all over the place more often. I didn't want them involved because I didn't want to, you know, if somebody won and then you go back to the companies who've given us stuff and said, oh, by the way, we won our own contest. Like, God, that would be embarrassing.
Right.
So that was kind of why I set that limit. Okay. But anybody else, including family members or whatever, are eligible and can win for $10. I think that's a pretty damn good deal myself.
So I tell you what, guys, give me the money. I'll put it under my name and I'll hand it.
Give it to you after the fact. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, so if I gave Clay $10 and I made him donate it and he won, then I could get the stuff?
I'm not going to say yes.
He's not saying no.
He's not saying no, people. He's not saying no.
No. I would try not to. Let's put it that way.
All right.
To be fair, you know, I mean, like, if you had $90 you wanted to donate and you wanted to donate 9 times, you would be entered in 9 times. So.
All right. So there you go, folks. You can enter in multiple times to increase your chances of winning.
Yep. I know Dave has definitely done that.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to plug, John? I'm going to give you the floor to plug whatever you'd like.
Well,
plug away.
I know you do another podcast without us.
Yeah, we do a couple other podcasts, Fate of Heroes, which Mr. Webster's on. I encourage you, if you're not listening to it, to have a listen. It's a lot of fun. Also, I stream on a weekly basis, 2 times a week usually, on twitch.tv/LinsteadDM. And we have a lot of others that do streams, so you might want to check all that out. And you can find out everybody who's streaming and all of our podcasts at distractionsmedia.com.
And I will be streaming shortly, but you guys can commonly see me on some of these guys'
streams. Everybody else's streams. Yeah, exactly. Heck, you're even on B's stream not long back, which is amazing.
Is that all you have to plug?
Them? Yeah, let's just go with that for today.
All right. And as always, guys, you guys can follow me on the Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word. You can check out everything we do at distractionsmedia.com. Anybody who wants to write in and leave an email for future topic ideas, questions, concerns, advice, blah, blah, blah. You guys can write in. I still have not. Well, I can't say I haven't. Somebody did technically send me pictures of boobies, but they were birds, I guess. I guess that's the name of those things. Not sure how that works. Not quite what I wanted, but that's fine. You guys can do that. There is a bird named a tit. There you go. And you guys can send emails at simplyunprofessional@gmail.com. Also, feel free to go over to the facebook.com/simplyunprofessional and give us a like and interact with us on there. So I think we just ended our Spooktoberfest, and I don't really have a theme for November, so we're back to the general consensus of whatever we feel like recording at the time.
I was about to say that whatever the hell we want episodes, yeah.
Until we get to another month where I feel like doing something themed, and I already promised Edquist December is not going to be Christmas themed. So anybody out there who listens to this and loves Christmas and loves the holiday and the month of December, I'm sorry.
The Grinch is running the show.
I think you should do all the pagan holidays. I think that'd be fun.
I mean, I might do a whole episode on that stuff, but yeah. I'm not doing it specifically for a Christmas theme or anything like that in the month of December.
I really think you should check out the Roman holiday that happens around the end of December. I think you're gonna like it.
Well, perhaps I will do that. I will take that under consideration and advisement and talk to my council about voting for it for a future SU topic.
All right.
So until next time, everybody, fuck Booster Gold.
# don't ask Anxiety Gaming what they think on this issue.
We love you, Anxiety Gaming.
Bye.
Jason, I really hope you learned to hate him over time.
I don't think you looked at their Twitter post then.
Don't tell me these things. All right. Bye, everyone.